Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hello, this thing on? Hello? Anybody home? Welcome in. The second half of a Monday, the 11th of August edition of the Eric Zane Show podcast. I'm, as I do this, as I'm broadcasting live on Twitch, so glad that you are here. I was driving back from Fear Bunker North, and I was a little bit concerned. This has happened a couple of times, but it when it starts happening more and more, I get worried because I'm driving, and you know how like on the dashboard, there's a little spot, the oil pressure, and it says, it's in the green, you know, it's doing great. It's awesome. It never moves. But on the truck, the 23-year-old embellisher, 22-year-old embellisher, you're looking at the meter, and then all of a sudden it goes to zero. Like the oil pressure is nothing. And then if that stays at zero long enough, an alarm goes off and the truck is like bing, 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 and there's a little message. It says oil low, oil pressure low, and then it goes back up. Well, it started doing that again. It would drop down to nothing and then go back up. The performance of the vehicle wouldn't change at all. But I'm like, this could be one of several things. Bob says this is a standard GM oil pressure issue. You know, it's funny. I was poking around on the internet and I saw that's so it said most likely it's like this sensor, the oil pressure sensor. Now you hope it's that because that's an easy fix. You kind of reach in back this one spot. I looked at a video where it was and it's no big deal to replace that little sensor at all. And you hope it's that. Because if it's not, it could be that you actually have a faulty oil pump. And now, okay. So what I always do is, like, whenever I take a look at changing the oil pressure sensor, and that's a job I can do. No big deal. And then I'm looking at how to change your oil pump. And it's going through all these steps and go, okay, I can do that. Okay, I can do that. Okay, I can do that. And then they get to a particular point where they start speaking a different language. And then it's like, all right, yeah, now to get this oil pump off, you got to remove this and then this, and you got to lift that and then this, and then you got to drain that and then replace this gasket. And then I'm like, oh, fuck. So then I usually wait. I try to process what I watched. And if after sleeping on it and thinking about it for a day and a half, if I then feel I might actually get the ickies that I had may have left me, and I reestablish my confidence. Like for that power steering pump, I can do that. I can change out that power steering pump. I'm 100% convinced of that. The oil pump, there's one particular step that I don't want to bore you with what it is that I'm like, ugh. So I'm hoping to God that it is just that goddamn sensor. I like working on the truck. I'll have to admit, Even just something as simple as changing the oil, it increases my self-worth. You know, I feel better about myself when I have success with something. I don't dare fuck around Pooh Bear's car, though. I'm like, fuck that shit. I'm going to ruin something on that. And then it's a big deal. The embellisher had so much dog hair in it from trips up north that the inside of the car, of the truck, the smell can best be described as sour. Pooh Bear's like, you got to clean this thing out. Donut dances, don't do the oil pump. You have to almost pull the engine to get it. No, I know exactly what you're talking about, because the timing belt has to come off, the fan has to come off, and then you have to remove the cover that covers the timing chain, and then it reveals the oil pump. And then you have to go below the vehicle. You have to take the pan off, which is a pain in the ass, in order to get to this one fucking bolt to get that goddamn thing to come off. And yeah, all the fluid has to come, all the radiator fluid has to come out. It's just a fucking nightmare. All right. Just something that was on my mind. We are 1 week away from the Eric Zane Show podcast, Aquinas College Master Podcasting Class. I'm on the hook for 16 classes. I was just going over my lesson plan. And I have got an idea now of what I'm going to do for week one of the Eric Zane Show podcast, Aquinas College, Big Fraud Master Podcast Class. Long name, I know, but I think what I'm most fearful of is just running out of things to talk about. So I've got to overcompensate and have more than I need to start this class. My teaching partner, Dr. Penny Avery, sits in the back of the class. She doesn't know anything about here's the thing. The college used to have a radio station. As Dan says, oil pump is in the oil pan. Do you mean water pump? I thought what I watched yesterday was an oil pump removal. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. I'll check it. Either way, it's a thing I'm not going to tackle. You're right. So, radio station used to be at the college. They don't have that anymore. Sign of the times. The importance of this class is podcasting. 75% of the class is going to be podcast related. I've read now two textbooks by so-called experts on podcasting and broadcasting, and there's not a lot. There's some that I agree with the authors of these books, but I you know, there's some stuff I can't get behind. And one of the things that they talk about is no podcasts make any money. And I challenge that because I think the only thing that dilutes that is because there are so many podcasts, and 90% of those fade away. They do the old pod fade. They do 10 episodes, and then after 2.5 months, they don't do any more podcasting. And I'm going to touch on that. But in the opening week of the class, what I'm going to do is I'm going to introduce myself, talk about who I am, how I got to be there, how we decided to come up with this class. This is the first class of the semester for these students, and it is the first time that this actual class is being offered. This was not a class until they called on your old pal Eric Zane. It was a radio class, and it was actually taught by a radio guy, and I know him too. And Dr. Avery, she goes, yeah, we would take a field trip to a radio station. Do you want to do that? And I'm like, no, I do not want to do that. That sounds horrible. She goes, yeah, we can all get in the college van and ferry the students to the radio station. I go, it's really irrelevant. There is no way that they would be interested in seeing a room with obsolete equipment for an obsolete medium for obsolete content. There is no point in that. I will be addressing with radio. I will be addressing with the students about radio, but it'll be literally from a historical sense because there is so little valuable in radio broadcasting and so little that is viable and valuable to these students. The only thing that is worth anything in terrestrial radio, sports play-by-play, and in some cases, talk. But very, very, and it's dwindling. It's dwindling. Chris says the Freeburn Hot Wing Studio is pretty up to date. Do a field trip there. It'd be a great idea. Would love that. And that's what Dan says, too. The only thing that would make it awesome would be if it was GRD. Rebecca says you should have them critique FBHW and their show content. So part of what I want to talk about is in radio, there's some I'm actually titling week one of the class to the fall of radio and the rise of podcasting. Like an entire lecture about these two things and the timeline and how they factor in with each other and at which point did one start influencing the other. And I would just like to tell you that it's going to be fucking fantastic. They're going to be eating out of the palm of my hand. I'm going to take something that is so intensely boring as the timeline of the fall of radio and the rise of podcasting. And they're going to be like, holy shit, this is fantastic. Dr. Zane, Professor Zane, Eric Zane. I want them just to call me Eric, by the way. I think the most challenging thing that has happened with my setup at Aquinas College has been all of the onboarding because there has been all these hoops from an HR standpoint that I have to jump through in order to be a official employee of Aquinas College. And by the way, add that to the stable, the roster of things that I am actually employed by. I am more cancelable now than I have ever been. I will try not to publicize with these young people about the podcast, but their curiosity will overcome them. They may even be watching right now. And so my goal is to not get them to have a problem with anything that I am saying on the podcast. So you're not going to catch me like ratting out some of the students. Like if someone does something silly, I won't be talking about something that I don't want to make the students feel bad. I want them to have a good experience. And if something happens in the classroom that I then go and start attacking and making fun of on the podcast, that's a problem. I'm already way ahead of myself. I'm policing myself. Now, if I do something idiotic, rest assured, it will be talked about on this show. But I will be protecting the integrity of the classroom and also protecting the feelings of the young people. Because you have to also understand that these people, these students, are at these are a level of American citizens that aren't cut from the same cloth as old grizzled veterans like Donut Dan, Chris K, and myself. You know, we have rhino skin. We can take everything. Young people today, like my daughter, Madison, you have, it's like, you know how you ever see or hear about how a lobster, when it molts and gets rid of its shell, it's all soft and vulnerable until the shell hardens up. that's the way all of Generation Z is all of the time. We need to give them flowery reviews and love them and support them. And for the love of God, don't bust their balls or it's the end of life as we all know it. Jeremy says, boring? I'd eat that lecture right up. I'd listen to that thing on repeat. Yeah, but you're a Radiohead. David says young people cannot handle it like Gen X can. Yeah, I want to start seeing young people, you know, toughen up. Pardon me, I didn't mean to just cough right in your ear like that. That's one of the things I can talk about in the class. Try not to cough into the microphone. So after we break down the fall of radio and the rise of podcasting, that kind of sounds like that movie, The Rise of the Silver Surfer, Fantastic Four, shitty movie. But that's kind of where I'm going. And podcasting began right around 03, 04. That's when this first started to happen. And I was reading something on Google about when that first started to happen. They called them audio blogs back then. There was a couple searches for it on Google. And then there was some analytics that were done, produced on the trend. And then every time they would look at it again in a day and a half, it would be double the amount of people that were inquiring about this exact medium. And then it kept building and building and building. And then finally people started to put out podcasts. And then they were all boring, you know. And then eventually people started to create at a level that was like, with RSS feeds, where suddenly that material was being able to be downloaded onto a device called an iPod. So they combined, damn it, broadcast, the words broadcast and the device, the iPod, to create the podcast. So now we have something that is growing exponentially every single day, but not actually being consumed on the device that it was created for, the iPod. But the amount of people that consume podcasts on a daily basis, growing exponentially after each and every passing day, and the number of people that are consuming radio shrinking. And there's a reason why. The main reason, if you want to put it in the most simple terms, without going down the rabbit hole of all the other underlying sub-reasons that make this whole thing happen, if you were to look at a chart and see how the popularity of radio just goes down and then the rise of podcasting, they actually meet at one point, and then one keeps going down and one keeps going up. It's a few word answer, but it's podcasting's more interesting. Radio has gotten less interesting or stayed the same, while podcasting overall, the topics, the subject matter, there's more interest in it. And that's the reason why radio has diminished and podcasting has increased. And you add in all those other factors, ease of consumption, subject matter. You can pick and choose the subject matter. You can literally search out a topic on a podcast, and there will be subject matter on that you will find interesting. Radio, you literally have to wait and see what they're talking about. And in the way people are with how they consume material, they can get whatever they want at their fingertips. Young Adam Schwab says, will your exams be multiple choice or short answer essay? We haven't determined that yet, but probably a large percentage of what we will be doing will be multiple choice or fill in the blank. There will be some things that will be short essay, though, I'm sure. Also, class participation is part of it. And practical experience. So we actually have a podcast studio And we're going to divide these people up into five groups of three. And they will come up with content and produce and direct and create their own podcast. And I'm going to have to listen to them. And no, I'm not going to take the material and play it for you and then make fun of it. There has to be a real line of integrity here. The lines are blurred most of the time when it comes to the podcast. Like if I'm doing something at Bosco's Pub, and let's say Doug sticks his hand in the fryer, I'm definitely going to come here and talk about that and make fun of him and talk about how stupid he is. But if a student does a podcast and then I immediately take the material and start ripping them a new asshole, oh, fuck. I don't want to live in that world. That is not going to happen. Jeremy says radio could have been like a podcast. They could have morphed into a we have everything here thing with satellite, but Sirius decided to just be the same as terrestrial radio, but with naughty words. Donut Dan says, "Arg! Group projects suck. I used to get stuck doing it all while the three stoners did nothing." That's outstanding, though. That's the real world. I had a discussion with Dr. Avery. She goes, what if they don't get along in the group? And you know what I said? I said, good. Just like Jocko, I said, good. She goes, what do you mean good? I go, that's real world. Figure it out. If someone doesn't, if they don't work out together, if they don't kill each other, that is a great life lesson. You aren't going to like every person that you work with. You aren't going to agree with everyone that you work with. Figure it out. We got five groups of three. I don't want to be going, oh, little so-and-so has got his feelings hurt. Pick him up, put him over here, and then somebody else goes over there. Come on. No. It's a great opportunity. If I'm going to prepare you as best I can with the things that I've learned both in radio and podcasting, I think with just my general overall interactions with people can also prepare you for how it's going to be when you work in that type of setting. You're going to get into a job and there's going to be someone who's an asshole. So if you work with someone and in your group you've got an asshole, understand you're getting the best education possible. You can't just sit there and work with people because or not work with them because you don't like them. Tough shit. Yoda World is here. It says there's always a useless person that somehow stays there forever. Yes, we call them hot wings. There's always a hot wings. At every workplace, you have to figure it out. So when I left you last week, I had my hip went haywire. I talked about that, how I came around the corner. I was doing my little running, and then it made a strange noise, and I could feel all sorts of things moving that made me think that bones were breaking in my hip. Had become powder. I limped my ass home. And then the next day was Thursday. I talked about it here. It was very, very painful. And it started to recover. And then it started to feel better a little bit. Friday comes and, you know, I didn't do a show. And went up north. And then Friday, I mean, I've given myself 48 hours. Now, at this point, this was a wild enough of an injury, I thought I'm going to have to lay low for a period of time. Like, there'll be no running, and there hasn't been. But I still have to move, and I'm still moving, but I'm not comfortable yet. It still hurts. So what did I do? I figured out a way that I thought I would be doing, like, rehab on it if I was, like, taking a step up on a staircase, up and down repeatedly. And boy, it was uncomfortable. And I thought, oh boy, yeah, that's the stuff. That's what I need to have happen. But that couldn't have been more wrong, because Friday night, that thing was barking at me, that hip. And my God, I could not I couldn't even move without being in pain. Just sleeping was a challenge because I was like laying on it, you know? And as I'm talking about it, I'm standing up to actually not really put a lot of stress on it, but just to stretch it out here, which is something I used to do. Well, I still do, but you've seen me do many, many times. But my God, you should have seen me Friday night into Saturday morning. I think the two people that were the most uncomfortable were the guy who got injured on the football field that we talked about in the first half of this show, and me. Oh, God, was that rough. So I vowed I wouldn't do anything until I can get a little more success with the pain going away. Speaking of pain, I don't know. I'm hoping you saw this, but Jeremy sent this along, Jeremy K. And it was NASCAR guy who won some race. And you know how, like, when you win the race in NASCAR, you climb out of the vehicle through the window, and then you put your hands over your head and you, like, stand on the car? He did this, Connor Zillish, and then he fell off the vehicle and he landed on his face. This is rough. Fuck. And he's hurt. He broke his collarbone. I thought he was dead, frankly. Here he is. He's getting out of the vehicle.
7 career wins. Let's go down to Mobile One Victory Lane, Dylan.
He's got his drink. And all the spots. His foot slips there. That's a bad start. That's a preview of things to come. Now here he is. He's all happy. Now watch. His day is about to be ruined. Right there. He just slipped. Now the foot, he's got the knee up. The left foot, that one's going to get stuck.
Oh!
On the cage stand.
Oh my gosh, he fell.
And he's not getting up. I'm going to frame by frame this for you. Okay, so right there. Okay, it kind of blips across. So, yeah, this is, he realizes, oh, I'm fucked. And he almost saved it somehow. Like right here. And then the one foot gets hung up. You can see it's still in the vehicle. For some reason, he's still smiling here. But he's about to smash his face in. Oh!
Cage stand.
Oh my gosh. Oh. 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 Okay, now it's getting funny. Oh, no, Sophie fell.
7 career wins. Let's go down to Mobile One Victory Lane.
Can you imagine getting through that whole race in one piece? And you won? And then you completely scramble your eggs and break your collarbone when you're getting out of the vehicle? Ugh.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Jeremy says we had bike guy fall before winning last week. This guy falling after winning this week, it's been a good few days for funny falls. Yeah, that's right. We did have bike guy fall. Branjo says, oh no, Josie fell. No, it's Sophie. Oh no, Sophie fell. Donut Dan says, I would like to thank my sponsors, starting with Skechers No Slip Shoes. Nick the Black Belt says, that'll be banned now. Alan says, watch his leg. He's lucky that didn't break. And then Donut Dan says, if you want to see an awesome video, look up Stuart Friesen Crash. All right, I'll play your silly game. I think it's Friesen. Okay, all right.
A race car driver very familiar to...
This is it right here.
Fans in the area is in serious condition following a scary crash north of the border last night. NASCAR Truck Series regular Stuart Friesen trying to make a pass following a restart on lap 16 in the King of the North dirt car race at Autodrome Drummond in Quebec, Canada. Friesen's 44 car, you're going to see, flips, struck by at least one other car after striking the wall, briefly bursting into flames. It took crews more than half an hour to get Friesen out of the car, taken to a local hospital with a fractured pelvis and fractured legs. Thankfully, his wife Jess posting to Facebook that Stuart remains in serious but stable condition tonight. He will be transferred to a New York hospital tomorrow to undergo several surgeries. Of course, he's a familiar face here with numerous victories at the Utica Rome Speedway.
How old is this? Oh, this isn't old at all. Ugh. 11 days ago. My God. Yeah, you never know, man. That's kind of like with the football player. During the Lions game, you know, any play, something like that can happen. That's like Maurice Norris who got injured. You know, those guys are just fighting to make the practice squad. And whatever that you think about, oh, yeah, the NFL minimum, that's a lot of money. Yeah, it is. But, you know, you got to understand, they're taxed heavily. And not only that, but there's a jock tax. So let's say you're like the lowest paid player on the team and you made the team, like NFL league minimum. NFL league minimum. I'm going to guess it's, $500,000. Okay, I'm way off. $840,000. Time for some easy math. You take what they're taxed federally and on a state level, not to mention when they play on the road, that money gets taxed in the towns that they play in. It's a jock tax. Like, let's say dude on the Lions who makes $840,000 a year. He plays in Dallas, Texas. That state will tax him as well. So there's a lot of plus the city taxes. So you're looking at after agent fees, like because a lot of them have representation, or all of them do. NFL agent percentage fee. It says agents are allowed to take a maximum of 3% of their clients' contract earnings. When you look at how much that they make, you're looking at about 40 cents on a dollar that the NFL player will make. So if it's 800 and whatever I said, $840,000, whatever is 40% of that. It's still $336,000. Pretty good. But you look at what is at risk, and they have a short window of time to earn that money. That's not a lot of time to make hay. And some of these guys, when they get done, they don't wind up doing anything. They've got to come up with a skill set. So, those are the guys that really need to come up with a way to save their money and focus on, because a lot of them just go ahead and blow it because they're idiots. So you look at a guy who's got $336,000, and by the time he gets his first paycheck, he's already spent $250,000 of the dollars because he's a moron. I think there's a real market for NFL teams to hire somebody to teach these guys, hey, most of you aren't going to fucking be any good in this league, so save your fucking money, assholes. All right. Cole V is here. By the way, Cole V, I thought you were on the Patreon yesterday, the other day, I should say, but it was Coleman Lutz. Cannot believe I did that. I still am embarrassed by that. Chris says, that's why you got to be a good kicker or a good long snapper. Nice long career. Backup quarterback. That's a great job. Or third string quarterback. Career third string quarterback. First thing, and Dan says, that should be a college football credit class, money management. In addition, you should not buy like motorhomes that you don't need. I think that would be something that they should. I see we have somebody who's begging for money on the Twitch stream. I have to send them on their way. Yeah, I can't have that. Charlie Batch, career backup, says Nakua Matata. Oh, my God. I used to love that guy. Folks, I will be, I'm inviting you to join us for the second annual pinball orgy. It happens August 22nd at Pinball Land, and I want to see you there. If you're on Facebook, it is a pin post at the top. Please respond with whether or not you will be there. If you don't do Facebook, some of you don't, hit me up with an email, eric@ericzaneshow.com with an RSVP. I'd like to know how many people are going there. It is 7:30. It's going to start at 7:30 in Rockford, Michigan at the Corner Bar. That's where we met the first time. And then we'll stumble down the street over to Pinball Land. Afterwards, Jeremy says, come and maybe see me. Yeah, I think you're working. The current 8,632nd ranked pinball player in the world. Black Belt Nick says, my son heard I was going to pinball and wanted to go, so I'll have to take him on a special trip. Also, I would like to point out that Saturday, September 6th, Paintball War number 25, the September Slaughter. That starts at 5 p.m. at TC Paintball. Free pizza party to get it started from BC Pizza, and then we'll get after it. I just talked to the Mexicans. They're going to be there. We have to have the Mexicans there because they are such a formidable amount of people. So I talked to Gabe, who is the leader of the Mexicans, but he is not himself Mexican. He's Honduran. So pretty much 2/3 of the people there don't even speak English. But I'll be there, probably cutie patootie, and his annoying brother, Matt. Not to mention, I'm hoping Tyler K can be there. I'm going to reach out to the Tarantula Farmer. If you want to hang out Saturday, September 6th at 5 p.m. for Paintball War number 25, the September Slaughter, do it. When I was up at Fear Bunker North over the weekend, something fantastic happened. Operation Northern Strike was going down. Some of you may have already seen this video, but I'm going to share it with you. This will give you an idea of another example, I should say, of just how close the artillery range is next to my place at Fear Bunker North. 37 U.S. states had their National Guards there and 9 foreign countries playing war games. Here I am out in the woods. I'm just waiting for the machine gun fire to start. This will give you an idea of how close they are to my place. While that's happening, every 5 minutes, a parade of Black Hawk helicopters flies right over just above the treetops. God, is that cool. I don't know who this is. Benz, B-I-E-N-Z-N-A-D-A-1-X. You wouldn't touch me in the forest. I'm a verge. Okay, I'll take your word for it. Thank you. Glad you're here. I don't recognize the name, but welcome. Yeah, it was a good time out there. A lot of picking up sticks and limping around like an idiot. Pooh Bear and I had a good time. We will be going back for Labor Day. So at the end of this month, we'll be heading out, and I'll miss you on a Thursday and Friday and then be back on Tuesday. Thursday, Friday, Monday, and then be back on a Tuesday. Okay. Thanks, as always, to the sponsors. Hello to my friends over at My Policy Shop Insurance. That's Frank Fuss. If you are in need of any health care through healthcare.gov, call upon Frank. He will help you at buyinsurancehere.com. That is buyinsurancehere.com. And it doesn't cost you a dime. No matter where you are in the U.S., you can call upon Frank at buyinsurancehere.com. And he will help you get started with a health care policy through Obamacare. Typically, it's the person who would take advantage of this would be a person in between jobs, need a little temporary policy. Perhaps you're self-employed or your boss just doesn't offer insurance. Frank Fuss will help you every step of the way and doesn't cost you a dime. He gets paid by insurance companies. Adam Kasari is the realtor of choice on the show. If you're in West Michigan, reach out to Adam at 616-914-4061. That number is 616-914-4061. Close to home here, some assholes got together and they were, you know, have you ever seen or heard of cockfighting? Yeah. Well, they would, there's a cockfighting ring that got broken up just south of where I live. And so I don't know much about this. The only thing I ever saw about cockfighting was in the Clint Eastwood film Cry Macho. And this film was a pile of shit. Let me just tell you that. I swear to God, that guy, I don't think he's making movies anymore, but man, what a shitty movie. That's the only thing I know about cockfighting. They take two roosters and they fight to the death. And I think that they put like weaponry on the roosters. Like they like armor them up Game of Thrones style, and they have like razors on their talons and their beaks and shit, and then they fight to the fucking death. So you can't do that. And well, here you go. This is the report, the local report about the cockfighting ring.
Up tonight at 6 o'clock, allegations of a cockfighting ring near the village of Hopkins.
I don't know why they don't just call it rooster fighting. Because, you know, that's kind of a bad word if you say cock. And, well, hell, if you're the Freebird and Owings show, this would lead to a great segment where they make double entendre jokes. Like, oh, yeah, I love cock. Oh, that cock's big. Ooh-hoo-hoo. You know, they'd make those jokes.
Near the village of Hopkins.
News 8's Megan Munchman spoke with an animal rights group that caught the alleged fight on camera. We do want to warn you that the information in the video in this story may be disturbing.
Bride and Sue, good evening. Animal welfare group.
She always looks like she just got done running a marathon, this chick.
Shark are showing animals respect and kindness, posted disturbing video this week that they say is proof of an alleged cockfighting ring near Hopkins. Now, because no charges have been filed as of today, we have blurred out the faces of the individuals that you are about to see.
In an annoying voice, too.
Troubling video from a drone now making its rounds online this week.
Any animals that die for this kind of insanity is just tragic.
After the animal welfare group Shark captured an alleged cockfighting ring happening at this home on 23rd Street near Hopkins.
That is like great footage. I mean, that is outstanding. So that they must have like been aware that something was going on, and then they had the drone up there far enough that these morons couldn't hear it, but close enough and high enough quality that they could get outstanding footage.
They moved in, they started getting roosters, and like a lot.
Nearby neighbor Isaac Vandertorn says this isn't the first time a fight like this has occurred.
I've continued to complain for 5 years now or more.
But he says animal control wasn't able to do anything about it because the fights were never caught on camera.
I initially contacted animal control about it. They said they did a search, but he couldn't find any razor blades on their spurs to attack and kill each other. He said he didn't find anything, and there wasn't a lot he could do.
Cockfighting is defined as when two roosters...
There is a lot you can do. You can investigate. Why do a citizen organization like this, why do they have the ability to get the footage? And a government agency, oh, there's nothing we can do. We didn't catch him. Yeah, you're not trying. If you've been tipped off to something terrible, you investigate.
Are forced to fight, in many cases, with a knife-like object attached to their legs as they inevitably fight to the death.
Even the birds that win, if they're, you know, very badly injured, which is often the case, they just toss these animals onto a pile. Many of them are still alive.
Yeah. Shark founder Steve Hindy says they told Allegan County Sheriff's Department about the alleged incident on the morning of July 26, just hours before the group's drone captured several individuals slapping and violently hitting these birds before throwing them back into a wheelbarrow, barely moving.
Those who are involved in cockfighting and dogfighting, this kind of thing, are a menace to society.
Hindy alleges that the Allegan County Sheriffs did nothing to stop the ring.
And they knew about it.
But Vandertorn says deputies were on the case.
I was literally in contact with the police that weekend to try and set up an operation to bust them.
Allegan County Sheriff says they do not comment on open investigations.
Okay. Well, why is this guy talking? You know, here's the other thing. The fact that this story is now out there, and the fact that that dude, the bald guy with the glasses, is talking about it. I mean, the cat's out of the bag now. If they were doing that, and I'm sure they were, they're not going to do it now. They're going to take their game elsewhere. So the whole thing is botched. If you're suspicious that this is happening, you know, get to the bottom of it. And then, you know, you don't want... you know, them finding out about it. Adam says the sheriff's department is probably in on it, allegedly. Yeah, you never know. I mean, I can't say that for sure, but I do know that this is a hard living line area and full of losers and idiots. And they, you know, who knows? You might have a rat in law enforcement. Or what Adam said there, you might have someone who's actually in on it or somebody who knows someone in there and tipping them off. But yeah, I think that if this sheriff's department was worth anything, they would have taken the word of that neighbor and said, yeah, okay, great. Hey, you know, let's get to the bottom of this. But now this guy's on TV ratting them out like that. He's going to get his ass kicked, too, by these hillbillies. This whole thing is fucked up. God, man. Who's the guy, though? And it's always a guy. It's always a white guy who, why, how could that possibly be something that you would enjoy where animals kill each other? Why would that be? What type of defective soul are you that's what you do for fun? I don't understand it. I don't understand how that can possibly be like something you would enjoy. Similar to like, you know, where you or I might go to the auto races at Berlin and have a good time. Can you imagine? Hey, we're going to the cockfight. Yeah, it's going to be good. I mean, isn't there anything that you know, a couple of connections in your brain touch that maybe this is a bad idea? Maureen says, I know that my sexy sheriff would investigate. What is that guy's name again? The guy in Genesee County who's running for governor? Yeah, he would. He'd investigate, and then he would get on the exercise bike, and he would shoot. That's it, sexy Sheriff Swanson. He would then do a thirst trap video about the great work that he's doing. That's what he would do. And then he would brag about it, and then everybody would, you know, tell him how great he is. David said these people are simpletons. Of course, they find it fun. You know what's interesting about that is David is like one of my MAGA brothers. And so David, he voted for Trump for whatever reason. Doesn't matter. What's crazy is, the people in that video, they all voted for Trump too. That has to break your heart knowing that your guy appeals to them. Is that not weird? I mean, it's God, what a fucking thing. What a bunch of morons. Thank you, David. I mean, I wasn't even saying that to say that you're, you know, I wasn't trying to insult you, because everybody knows that the MAGA supporters on this show are some of the greatest people ever. All right. Now, I know some of you, like Stevie, is like, no, we must kill them. We must kill all MAGA supporters. And I'm here to tell you that we need to stop thinking that way. They are here for a reason, and we love them. David says, easy, there are idiots who support both sides. I'm not with those assholes. I know that. You don't have to tell me that. Of course. Chris says he would tell us, sexy Sheriff Swanson would tell us all about the cockfighting ring in Genesee County while riding a stationary bike inside of a sauna. All right. Well, I just thought that story was ridiculous and terrible. And I'm surprised that they went live with it. I wish they wouldn't have, because that, in my opinion, reduces the chance that these idiots will actually get caught. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, before we announce the asshole of the day, thank you, as always, to a couple more sponsors. Berlin Raceway. Oh, my God. There's racing this weekend at Berlin. And I will be there coming up on August 23rd. That is a Saturday if you want to get tickets for that event. BerlinRaceway.com is their website. And you can get tickets for just $15 when you buy them before Friday at 11:59 p.m. After that, they go up $5. 15 and under is free. Not to mention parking is free. Go to BerlinRaceway.com for more details and to actually get those tickets. And finally today, they know how to change an oil pump. Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid and EV, 616-532-6600, ervines.com. That number is 616-532-6600, ervines.com. Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid and EV. They have free loaner cars there. It's a great place to get your vehicle repaired. I trust them, and you should too. Right in the middle of Grand Rapids, Michigan, Irvines.com. Today's asshole of the day. and simple. Based on the story that we just had, it is the cockfighting assholes. They are the assholes of the day, you sick fucks. What a horrible thing. And then also, you know that there's people that are in their lives that, like, know this. Know that they're into cockfighting. And they don't, they turn a blind eye. That's remarkable to me. Like, this is just a step above pedophilia and sex trafficking. Barely. Like, if someone said, EZ, who would you rather hang out with? A pedophile, a sex trafficker, or a cockfighter? I would say sex trafficker. And then cockfighter, and then pedophile. Donut Dan says racing greyhounds. Not necessarily. I mean, I've seen that whole industry and how terrible that is. There was a documentary that came out about it years ago that was very interesting. If it was done appropriately, like horse racing, even that could be terrible too. I don't know. I feel like I'm opening up a Pandora's box and splitting hairs here. Jeremy says, marry, fuck, kill. Child molesters, traffickers, and cockfighters. All right, I would marry the sex trafficker. I would have sex with the cockfighter, and I would kill the child molester. That's what I would do. Folks, you're a wonderful audience. You know that, and I appreciate you so much. I just got a new person who signed up on Patreon, and I want to get their name. I don't have it. Oh, no, I did. Okay, there it is. Brian B. just signed up on Patreon. I appreciate you, buddy. He signed up for free, and then he said, all right, it's good enough for me, and he signed up for $5 a month. I appreciate that. That's kind of how I make my world go around here, and I appreciate all of you. We will do the Patreon bonus podcast a little bit later on after I get something to eat. And I'll see you then, okay? And we have book club tonight. Don't forget book club as we put the wraps on The Heroin Diary. Should be fun. Thank you so much, folks. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.